morning.
All
right, here we go. There you are. I knew you were out there somewhere. Good to see you. We're going to be continuing our series today entitled I Commit. And today we're talking about this idea of what it means to commit to connect to God's people. And we get the title of this series, you know, we're kind of playing off the whole Apple Corporation thing, right? We're thinking about how Apple has taken complex technology and simplified it so that the interface with us is so much easier to use. They've made an easy, friendly, you know, user-friendly kind of technology. And they call them iPads and iMacs and so forth. And some have said the I, maybe it stands for internet, or maybe it stands for I can do it. You know, it's easy for me to do. But here's the thing I want you to think about today, that there's so many commitments we make today. There's so much complexity in our life that if we could just go back to the basics and say, I want my life to live out of some simple commitments, and go back to those first things and say, I want to go back to some simple commitments, and I make those simple commitments, and then it helps me to say yes to what matters and no to what doesn't matter. Because there's a whole lot of stuff we do. We just fill our lives with a lot of stuff that really doesn't matter. And so living out of these three simple commitments, we've been talking about them. Last week we talked about a commitment to celebrate God's Son, to put Jesus first in your life, to give Him your first love, to worship Him. And now this week we want to talk about the second commitment and the importance of being connected to God's people, being connected to the body of Christ. And so we're going to be looking at that today and the importance of that commitment. Now, why do you think we need to be connected to other people? Well, you know, why do we have this need? And it's because God made us that way. God made you so that you're not supposed to be a lone ranger. He made you so that you have this built-in need for other people. In the book of Genesis, it says this, "The Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone." It's not good for you to be alone. And the more we're by ourselves, the more trouble we have, the more difficulty we have. Shelley Taylor, the psychologist at UCLA, says this. She says, "Friendships play a far more important role in maintaining good health and having a long life than most people realize. Social ties are the cheapest medicine we've got." The truth of the matter is, according to doctors, that being connected to other people is good for your health. It's good for your physical health. They've proven that it boosts your chance of surviving life-threatening illness. People that are going through a season where maybe they've been told you've got an illness that's life-threatening, but if you have a good support system around you, it really aids your healing, that you've got people praying for you and caring about you. It causes people to have stronger, more resilient immune systems. Did you know that? That being connected to other people builds up your immunity. You'd kind of think, well, maybe if I locked myself in the house and wore, you know, a mask and everything, maybe it would help. No, it's actually the opposite is true. The opposite is true. It improves your mental health, and a lot of you really need help there, right? And then it says this, as I was reading about this, people live longer. You live longer when you're connected. Now, here's a second reason that we need to be connected to other people. One, because God made us that way. Here's a second reason. Because we can't grow as believers without being connected to His body. It stunts your growth. You just can't grow as believers without being connected to Christ's body. You think, well, I'm going to read the Bible on my own. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be in a small group or a Bible study. I can get this on my own. It's the American way. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's just not true. Colossians 2:19 says, "He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow." If you want to grow, you have to be connected to the body. It says Ronald Glacier, an immunologist at Ohio State University, says this, "One of the worst things you can do to someone is isolate them." It's one of the worst things you can do is put them in isolation. And my wife and I, we rented a movie this past week, and I can't remember the title of it, but it was about a homeless shelter. It was very disturbing watching it, just kind of heartbreaking, reading, you know, just really watching this and seeing so many people. The reason for their homelessness is that they don't have anybody else. They've broken down their family support system. There's just so many things, and they're just on their own. And the more they're on their own, the more problems they have mentally and physically. The truth is, we really need each other. Now, I want us to look at the book of Romans, and I want us to talk about this commitment to be connected. And today, my hope and prayer is that, first of all, you'd be connected to Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord. You'd be connected to Him. And then recognizing that connection means you're called to be connected to His body, to His disciples, to other believers. Let me read the text. It's found in Romans, and it says this, starting at verse 4. Our bodies have many parts, but these parts don't all do the same thing. In the same way, even though we are many individuals, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. And may God bless the reading of His word. Amen. Let's take this apart now. Let's look at three ways that we can make this commitment connecting to God's people, and how we can make it a life commitment. Let's look at three ways. Here's the first way. Decide to belong. Make a decision today. I'm going to be a belonger. I'm not just going to be an attender. I'm not just going to be one that sits in the stands and watches the game. I'm going to join the team. I'm going to be a belonger. I'm going to belong to Christ and His body of believers. I'm going to decide to belong. Notice in verse 5, it says, even though we are many individuals, Christ makes us one body connected. You know, circle that word connected in the text. Connected to each other. Now listen, here's the thing. We are many individuals. We have different gifts and different shapes, and we look different, and we have different personalities. But this is the beauty of the church, is that because of the Spirit of God, when we receive Christ, He makes us one, first of all. Listen, here's the first thing He does. He makes us one with His Father. He makes us one with God. He makes us right with God. And then having reconciled us to God, He gives us hearts that want to be reconciled to each other. We have this reconciling spirit, this Holy Spirit lives within us, that makes us want to be right with other people. And so He calls us, even though we're individuals, to be members of His body, to bring to bear those unique gifts. He causes us to belong to each other. So I want you to turn to someone nearby right now, just look at them and say, you belong to me. Just say that. Turn to them and say, you belong to me. There's other ways that I've heard people say that, but that's the way we're saying it today. Romans 12:5 in the New Living says, and since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. We belong to each other. Isn't that beautiful? Aren't you glad you... I don't know if you belong everywhere you go. That sense of belonging is so important. It's what causes so many people to do just crazy things. It causes them to do things with their hair and with, you know, with tattoos and body piercings. And it causes them to wear certain kinds of jackets or not. Or, I mean, just go to your local high school and look at all the things that the desire for belonging will inspire our teenagers to do. And we don't get over it. We don't get over it. We keep on. We want to belong so desperately. And Jesus invites us to this relationship. He says, if you'll come to me, I'll give you a family. And it's the family of God. You'll belong to this family. Some of you today, you need a family, don't you? You need that so desperately. Ephesians 2:19 says, you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Do you belong somewhere? Here's what we're saying to you today. Come to Jesus. First of all, say, I want to belong to you. And then say, belonging to you, I want to belong to God's people. I want to be in God's family. I want to be a member of God's family. I was, it might surprise you, but my wife gets this magazine. And so occasionally, I'll read an article in there. This is from the Ladies' Home Journal. 7 easy ways. This got to be true. It's in the Ladies' Home Journal, right? So it's got to be true. 7 easy ways to add years to your life. Look on the bright side. Have a positive outlook. That's a good one. Eat apples and pears. Put that on your list. Flavonoid-rich fruits lower your risk of cardiovascular disease. Eat apples and pears. Keep in touch with friends. Those in weekly contact with at least five friends were 22% less likely to die in the next 10 years. So keep that in mind. Make face-to-face contact with at least five friends a week, or you could die in the next 10 years. Number four, go running. I don't know about number four. Runners live longer and have fewer injuries than non-runners. I'm a non-runner, man. I don't run anymore. Maybe I could bike. Sleep, and this is number five, sleep but not too much. Okay, sleep but not too much. Interesting study here. 7 to 8 hours is optimum. Fewer than six puts you at higher risk of heart disease, so you need to get at least six, but fewer than that. But more than nine, get this, makes you more likely to die of diseases such as cancer. So there's like sleep just enough, but not too much. So, you know, all right. Sleep, but not too much. Number six, be generous. These are things that'll help you live longer, to be generous. People who give emotional and tangible support to friends and neighbors add years to their lives, according to the University of Michigan. So be generous. Be a giver, not a taker. Make you live longer. And then number seven, finally, a University of Texas study found that worshiping regularly, people who worship regularly, who attend church regularly, live longer. Those who attend weekly religious services live 7 years longer than those who don't. So get that extra seven in and go to church. Seven easy ways to add years to your life, according to the Ladies Home Journal. Let me give you some practical tips here that are more from the Scripture. Here's one. Make a decision today to become a Christ follower. Decide today to give your life to Christ, to belong to Him. What does that look like? That means to surrender your life. Bring all that you are, including your sin, especially your sin. Bring it to the cross and come to Jesus and say, here I am, just as I am. I bring all that I am. And I want to belong to you. He died on the cross for your sins. He paid a sin sacrifice so that you could be made righteous before God. He rose from the grave and He lives today. Go to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. I give you my life. That's your first step to belong to God's family. Some have done that. You've already done that. And one of the next steps for the person who has come to Christ is to get baptized. Just so happens, we've got the baptistry set up today, and then we've got eight candidates at the beginning of the next service who have said, I want to follow Jesus. I commit my life to Jesus. I want to belong to Him. And they come in obedience to Christ's command to be baptized. So the Bible says that when you get saved, when you receive Jesus, you should get baptized. Now, here's what I tell people about baptism. Baptism will not save you. It will not wash your sins away. It's just water. Only the blood of Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross washes away your sin. You have to receive that blood payment and say, He died for me. That washes away your sin. So why do we get baptized? Well, here's why. It's like putting the wedding ring on after you said, I do. If I were to take this wedding ring off, it says on the inside, GWC, well, actually it says RDC, Robin DePorey Connor, 2, GWC, Gary Wayne Combs, 6279. That was the day, June 2nd, 1979. When we exchanged vows and rings. Now, here's the way it works at a wedding service. First, you say, I do. Then you exchange the rings. Now, you can go to a jewelry store, and you can buy one of these wedding rings, and you can put it on your finger, but it will not make you married. You have to say, I do. You have to commit until death do us part. Then you get to put the rings on. Well, so why do you wear rings? So that everybody else will know you're taken. Have you been baptized? So that everyone else knows that you belong to Jesus. That's what baptism is. It's an outward sign of an inward change. Baptism is an illustration. Here's what it says. Buried with Christ, dead, my sins, my old nature, dead, risen with Christ to new life. It's an illustration of what you are. You're a new creation in Jesus. Have you been baptized? Sign up today if you've never been baptized, and we'll schedule another one of these, okay? We'd love to see you be obedient in that step. Others today, your next step would be to join a community group. Community groups meet weekly in our church. They meet in homes. And you can find out more about that. In a little bit, we'll give you a chance to fill out that connection card and express interest. We're starting new groups as we approach the fall season. And this is one of the ways you really grow, is to be part of a group that meets weekly in someone's house. And I tell people, if you pull up to the table with someone else and you sit knee to knee and face to face with a cup of coffee and talk about the Lord, you open up the Bible, amazing things happen. Amazing things happen when you just sit together like that. Now, you're doing well today being here and hearing the Word of God, but there's something about sitting knee to knee and face to face and going, what's that mean? And talking about it and going, how can I work that into my life? Will you pray for me? And it's just amazing what happens. Here's another step you could take. You could decide, I've been coming to WCC for a while, and I want to join. You know, I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. I've been going to a community group. I want to join the team, and so you'll want to do that. Maybe you'll just want to go to the Connect class and find out more. We've got one in a couple of weeks. So those are some practical next steps. Is that making sense? Some practical next steps you could take today, saying, I want to belong. Now, here's the second step. Here's the second step. We said decide to belong. Here's the second. Learn to share. Learn to share. Learn to share Christ's gifts with his people. So what does it mean? What does it mean to belong? What's that look like? Well, one is you decide to belong. I want to be part of Christ's family. I want to belong to Jesus. I want to belong to his body. And then the second is I want to share my gifts. I want to share who I am. I'm not going to hold back anymore because I belong to the family. I want to share. I want to learn to share. Verse 4 says, our bodies have many parts, but these parts don't all do the same thing. You look around our church sometimes and you go, man, we really need this ministry. When are they going to start this one? Pastor Gary, and they're right on the card. When are you going to start this one? When are you going to do that? You know? Because we'd love for you to start this ministry. And here's what I'd say to you. I'm guessing that the reason you see a need for this is that you have a heart for whatever this is. And what if you're the person that God's calling to get this thing started? You know, because maybe the reason we don't have whatever this is that you have a heart for is because you're the part of the body that isn't doing it. You're not doing anything. You see the need, and you just haven't pulled the trigger yet on commitment. Here's what I would say. I believe that at any point in time, that when Christ puts together a church, that he gives us all that we need to succeed. It's all present, but there are those in our midst who are holding back. They're holding back their gifts. They're holding back who they are and their abilities and their service. In Acts chapter 2, we read about how the early church, the first century church, was such a giving church, such a sharing church. Look at verse 244 of Acts. And all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. What are you holding back? When are you going to be all in on this Christianity thing and stop just kind of standing around the edges? When are you going to be all in all that you are and all that you have, just fully devoted? When are you going to share your gifts? Let me give you some ideas of what that might look like. You can share your spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians says this, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church or edify the church. Try to excel in those. Now, spiritual gifts are given to us when we come to Christ. When you come to Christ, the Bible promises that he will give you the Holy Spirit to seal you and mark you so that you're sealed for the kingdom. But he also comes in and abides in you and gives you gifts, spiritual gifts that you didn't have before you came to Christ. And You could study these in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you look at 12 through 14, it talks about that in 1 Corinthians. If you read Romans chapter 12, it talks about that. You can find it in Ephesians. You can also find a shorter list in 1 Peter. You can study the list of spiritual gifts. I'm not sure they're comprehensive. There may be more than we find listed. But spiritual gifts are for Christians, and they're designed to build up the church. You're not supposed to use them to edify yourself. They're designed to edify each other, to build up the church, these gifts. Now, one of the gifts is the gift of prophecy or preaching, forth-telling the Word of God. Another's the gift of teaching. There's the gift of serving. There's the gift of administration. There's the gift of hospitality. Yeah. We could go on. There's these gifts. What's your gift? Well, Gary, I don't know if I have a gift. Well, if you're a believer, you have at least one, if not more. If you have a gift under the tree, you haven't opened it yet? What's wrong with you? Come on, find out what your gift is. We can help you with that. But find out what your gift is. One of the best ways I know to find out what your gift is try something. Try something. And then see what happens. You know, where's your passion? Go towards your passion and watch that happen. I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Or you know what your spiritual gift is and you're afraid to use it. But share. Share your spiritual gifts with the church, with one another. Here's a second arena. Experiences. Proverbs 27:17. People learn from one another just as iron sharpens iron. All of us have different experiences. And some of them aren't so good. Some of us have unpleasant experiences. But here's what I know. The Bible says that he will take even those things, you know, that weren't so good, and he'll work them together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And so maybe you've struggled with an addiction. Maybe you've struggled with drugs or alcohol or pornography or overeating, or you had a really bad hang up, a really bad habit, but Christ has given you victory in that arena now, and you're growing and you've learned to put that habit away and trust Jesus. You know who you could really help? People that are still struggling in that arena. Bring that experience to bear and say, here's how I walked it out with Jesus. Maybe you've had a loss in your life. Maybe you lost a child. Maybe you lost a baby. Maybe you lost a spouse or a parent. You know, maybe there's a young person in the church or in the neighborhood or somewhere where you work or in your school, and they lost their mom or dad. And maybe when you were younger, you lost your mom or dad or whatever. And there's something within us that when we've had similar experiences, it's like the Holy Spirit, he gives us excess grace. He gives us enough for us and then some to share. And so those of you that know me, you know that my father died when I was 8 years old. And I came to Christ at a very early age, and the Lord comforted me and healed that father wound, that desire for wanting a dad. He healed that in me. And so I got to tell you, when I see a little boy or a little girl without a dad due to death or divorce or desertion, my heart breaks because I recognize the look in their eyes. Something inside of me goes to them, and strangely enough, something inside of them is drawn to me. Guess what? It's not me. It's the Spirit of God within me that takes that experience. The place that you thought you were most wounded and broken is the place Jesus wants to heal you and take that experience and allow you to share it with someone else. That's what God does. Here's a third place you can share. You can share your gifts, your experiences. You can share your home. 1 Peter 4:9, open your homes to each other. Oh no, I was with you till you said that. I just am so busy and I haven't vacuumed in, I can't remember. And I haven't, you know, give me a month's notice and I'll have you over. Yeah, we need to declare, you know, an emergency over at my house before we can have you over. So many people. You know what that is? We want everybody to think we got it all together. And if we invite them over to their house, you know, we show up at work and at church and we smell good and we look pretty good. And but boy, if they come to our house, they'll find out the truth about us, won't they? Yeah, that's, you see, God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that kind of counterfeit Christianity, that kind of fake, putting on a front hypocrisy. Start having people over. Let them find out that you got dirty laundry and dishes in the kitchen sink. And guess what they might tell you is, my house looks just like yours. And let's just be family. Let's share. One of the lost arts of modern Christianity in America is the lost art of hospitality. Let's go out to eat. Let's go to this restaurant. Let's go over there. And those are great things. And if you're a first-time guest or something here today, second-time, third-time guest, I hope someone asks you out today. I hope someone asks you to their house or over somewhere. And you guys should all be looking around. If you're a member, regular attender, you should be looking around. I've never met that couple. I've never seen that person before. You should be thinking about asking them over and, Gary, I don't have anything prepared at home. We'll put another can of Beanie Weenies in the mix or something. I don't know. You know, put something together. You know, stop and buy something on the way home. But learn to be hospitable. Some of you, that would be your greatest gift, would be just to open up your home. And then get this one. Share your problems with other people. Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's troubles and burdens. Troubles and problems, rather. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens. I don't want to be a burden to anybody. Well, I'm not talking about just going around and vomiting on everybody you come up to. I'm not talking about that. You know, like some of you, we need to reel it in just a little bit, you know. Just reel it in a little bit. But some of us are just faking it. How you doing? I'm fine. Yeah, I'm good. I'm dying on the inside, but you, I'm not going to tell you. You know, keeping it together here. Nobody knows. You know, like your face is about to break where you're holding that smile. You know, being in a community group, being authentic. One of the highest values of WCC is authenticity. You know, we're the blue jean church, right? Not because we're trying to be cool, but because we're trying to be real. What really matters here is what your heart condition is. And we want you to share your problems in a safe environment, in a community group where you sit knee to knee and face to face with a cup of coffee in your hand or your Bible, and you tell, would you pray for me? My marriage is in trouble. Would you pray for me? My teenage son is in rebellion. Would you pray for me? The doctor gave me bad news. Would you pray for me? They just laid everybody off at work. Who do you talk to about that stuff? Can you share your life? This is what we're saying. Make a decision to belong to Jesus and to his body, and then treat each other like family. Begin to share your problems. Be real. Stop faking it. Share your life with one another. That's what we're inviting you to today. So be an active participant in a community group is one of the... Now, here's something I've heard some people say, and maybe this has been you. Pastor, you talked about this and talked about this, and I finally went to one of those community groups, and I didn't get a thing out of it. I've heard people say that. I don't even like those people. I went to that community group. Them some weird people at that house. You got any more of them community groups? Because I'm not going back to that one. I didn't get anything out of it. Now, here's one of the things I want to say. Did you bring anything to it? Did you bring anything to it? Did you go just to get or did you share? Because I've met some of you who said, I didn't get anything out of it. And you sat there, this is what my mom used to say, you sat there like a knot on a log. You ever heard that saying? And you didn't contribute, you didn't share, you didn't open up. And no wonder you didn't get anything out of it. I went to that retreat. I went to that community group, and you sat over in a corner by yourself, and you said, them's the most unfriendly people. And if you want to reap friendliness, you have to sow friendliness. If you want to reap loneliness, sow isolation. If you want to be friendly, if you want to really connect, you have to share. So go to community group, and those of you that said, I didn't get anything out of it, go back and put something into it. And maybe you'll get something out of it. Now, I got to tell you something. I never want to go to community group until I'm there. It's just my personality. And on Sunday mornings, before I come here, I don't want to come here. I have to ramp myself up to get here. I get up early on Sunday mornings, and I read the Bible, and I pray, and the whole time I'm going like, Lord, what if I mess up? What if I get up in front of all the, you know, I feel all the pressure, and then I go, well, that's not right. You're not supposed, God's in charge. You're just an instrument. And I have to, and then, well, what if, and what if that, and what if this, and I'm an emotional wreck. How about you? I'm just imperfect. I'm a broken pot. You know, the only thing good about me is Jesus in me. And so I come like that. Like he makes me come. Because I say yes and I commit to it. And then as soon as I get here and as soon as I see you, I'm so glad I'm here. And when I leave, I feel like $1 million. I just feel awesome. But I never want to come. I never do. I never want to go to community group. Yesterday, I got up and I go to the Y on Saturdays after like 12 or 1 when it thins out and there's no one there. I never want to go. I have never said, I can't wait to get to the Y. In fact, as I walked out the door yesterday, my wife can bear witness to this. As I walked out the door, I was so overcome with not wanting to go that my mouth was saying, I do not want to do this. I do not want to go to the, I don't want to go. And the whole time, my body was taking me out to my truck. And I went over. I walked into the Y. I don't want to be here. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Yeah. Good to see you, Pastor. You know, you working out? Yeah, happy to be here. Happy to be here. Working out. Going to lift some weights and sweat. Never want to go. Never want to go. How many things in life are you doing that you really don't want to do, but you know you need to do them, and then when you do them, they're the right thing to do. And if you do them enough, they become a habit, and then they become a lifestyle, and then they become a character, and then before you know it, you do them, and you think you love them. I love being here. If I don't start my week off this way, it's all messed up. I don't get anything out of it. We'll put something into it first. Make it a commitment. Okay, so I told you too much about me. You might not come back again, but anyway, I was real. Here's number 3. Choose to love. Choose to love Christ's family as your own. Make a decision to love. Like what? Choose to love? Shouldn't that come natural? Nah, some people you got to work at loving them. You got to lean in pretty hard to love some people. And what good is this Christianity thing if everybody was lovable? No, this Christianity that Christ gives us causes us to love the unlovable. To love them as the love of Christ flows from the Spirit in us, to us, and then through us to others. If you're not loving, there's something wrong in your relationship with the Lord. There's something out of whack. Because He gives you the ability to love the unlovable. And as they're chewing you out, as they're hating on you, as they're doing whatever they're doing, you have the ability as a Christian to have an inner conversation with the Lord that just says, I'm going to love this person anyway. And just get a goofy smile on your face like, you don't realize this, but I love you and I'm praying for you, even though you are hating on me big time right now. I love you anyway. The Bible says that's like heaping hot coals on their head to love your neighbor, to love the one who persecutes you, to love them anyway. Christ makes us one, connected to each other. It said in verse 5, Christ makes us one. We can't do this. Christ makes us one. Christ does this work in us. He first of all loves us when we were unlovable. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us when we were unlovable. And then he pours out this love. He pours it out in us, and he makes us one. But I don't much like you people, you think. I don't really like. Now, I like that person and that person. Not you so much, but you. I like you, but not you. I kind of like. That's the way the world thinks. It's the way the world thinks. But Christ in you loves. Loves the differences and the diversity and the. He just loves. And listen, he gives you the ability to decide, which is an action of the will. I will love you, which is agape love. It's agape that says, I will love you, like that. This would be really helpful at home, wouldn't it? To love your husband as an act of the will, as Christ gives you love. I will love you, even though you're really acting like a jerk today. To love your wives, husbands, to love her. As an act of the will, to love her, not because of what she does for you, but even when she's just driving you insane, to love her anyway, to love your brother, to love your sister, to love your neighbor, to love your parents. Have you met my parents? To love your mother-in-law, to love your in-laws, I mean, to love your brother-in-law, right? To love that neighbor. You know, I mean, just the power that Christ makes us so we can do this. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to each other like a loving family. The world should look at this church and look at these community groups that meet throughout the city. They should peer in through the window and go, who are those people who love each other like that? It starts with your marriage. People should look at your marriage and look at your family and go, wow, they're not perfect, but you know what? That family loves each other. They go through thick and thin together. Or that church, look at that church. You know what? They don't have everything. They're not the richest location. But boy, do they hang out together. Do they do things together? Do they love each other? When somebody's in trouble or someone's had a loss in their family or someone's sick, don't they just really pull together? To be connected to the family. To really love one another. Christ makes us one. And if you don't love one another, there's something going on in your heart that you need to get straight today. You need to repent of your unloving heart, your hard heart towards whoever that is. Fill in the blank, because their face is in your mind right now. That person that you're not reconciled to. Ephesians says you're members of God's family. Now look, this thing about being connected to others, and I'm all about social media, you know. I tweet. I Facebook. And, you know, if you'll friend me, I'll accept. And I'm all about that. That's a good way to stay connected. But it's not good enough. Don't substitute social media for face-to-face relationships. And I think one of the most ridiculous things I see is people sitting at a restaurant together with their smartphones. And I don't know if they're talking to each other or who they're talking to, but it don't look like they're talking to each other. And if you want to irritate the daylights out of me, invite me out to lunch with you and then sit there, and I got to wait for you to text somebody who keeps buzzing in on your telephone. Cut the stinking thing off during lunch and let's talk to each other, right? Like some of you are thinking now, did I do that to him whenever I'm... Because what I try to do is I try to cut... As I go out to lunch with somebody, or if you come in to see me, because your heart's broken over something and you want to talk to your pastor, I tell the front office, I take messages, I turn my phone down to vibrate, and I feel it like in my pocket the whole time, but I won't answer. You know why? Because I'm talking to you. And so what I'm saying is, dial down the social media and have some real relationships. Pastor Wayne Cordiero says that this kind of communicating has made us a mile wide and an inch deep in our relationships.
Yeah, but Gary, I have 1,400 friends on Facebook. No, you don't. You do not.
I do too. You can check out my number. I got 2,000 people following me on Twitter. Yeah, but you're sitting in your underwear down in the basement all the time, you know? You don't know anybody. No. Get in a relationship with another believer. Find someone that you can grow closer to God with. Do you have a Paul? Someone you can look up to? Someone that's a few steps ahead of you in their spiritual growth? A mentor that you can ask questions to? Someone a little older than you, a little wiser? Do you have a Paul relationship? Do you have a Barnabas? Barnabas means son of encouragement in the Aramaic. Do you have a buddy, a running mate? Do you have a Barnabas? Someone who sharpens you and you sharpen them and you hang out together. Do you have a Timothy? Someone that you're ahead of a little bit, that you're pouring your life into. They see you as a mentor. You know, they look up to you. And I got to tell you, often that's the person you learn the most from, because they ask you questions you don't know the answer to, and you got to go ask Paul what they mean. You know, like, hey, have you ever run into this? Timothy's asking me this. But you need those kind of three relationships: someone to look up to, someone to run with, and someone to pour your life into. Connecting to God's people is inseparable from being a Christ follower. You don't hear Peter come to Jesus and say, okay, I'm willing to follow you, but do I have to hang out with the other disciples? You know, like, could I just like follow you on the side? Do I have to hang out with Judas over there because he's a real jerk and Matthew's attacked? I mean, no, you don't hear him saying that. They might have thought it. But no, when he called them together to come and be with him. Romans says, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. Will you decide today to be connected to Christ, to make him your Lord and Savior, and connected to his body? Will you learn to share? Will you begin to share all that you are with God's people? And will you decide to love? Just make a decision today to love the most unlovable and to let Christ love flow through you to that person who needs to feel that reconciling love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you call us to this commitment. It really does begin with a commitment. I commit to belong. I commit to be part of God's family. I want to connect today. For some of you, it begins with this prayer: Lord Jesus, I know you died on the cross for me, that you rose from the grave and live today. I invite you now to come into my life. I give you my life. I give you all that I am. I surrender. I repent of my sin and I turn to you. Come and live in me. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. I want to belong to you. Now others are here today and the Lord's leading you to make other decisions. Would you be obedient now to do whatever he's placed on your heart? In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to take some time right now as our band comes up to play a song.